Admiral Jack Romanoff exited his cutter and stepped aboard the battleship Scorpius. The ship was identical in layout to his own, so everything he saw was familiar, including all the people working on repairing systems and trying to bring the old warship back up to fighting trim. On the whole, Scorpius was about in the same condition as Hunter had been after they had their first major fight, though he suspected she probably had more functional weapons than he had at that point. Or at least she would have had that many before the battle she'd just fought. Now she was in about the same condition as his ship had been before the war started. At least there were plenty of people to bring everything back online and replace the destroyed systems. Vice Admiral India McKinnon was waiting for him, thankfully without a welcoming party. There was a time and place for pomp and circumstance, and this wasn't it. They had too much work to do. "Thanks for pulling our bacon out of the fire," India said. "Thank Lisa. If she hadn't snuck aboard the Tardan warship, knocked everyone out, and then stolen the control mechanism for the locusts right out from under their noses, Scorpius and Argent One would have been destroyed and we'd be playing cleanup. What's your status?" "We lost a couple of fusion drives and one power plant. Charlie Ferrero is doing the best he can to get everything back up and running, but we'll probably be limping along for at least another few days. The weapon systems got scoured pretty good, but we've got a lot of replacement parts on hand and we can swap the systems out whole." Jack had no doubt that Charlie could get everything put back the way it needed to be. The man had been his chief engineer aboard the cruiser Hawkwing prior to Jack being promoted to Commodore and put in charge of the battleship division before the invasion. He was solid and utterly reliable. The vast majority of the senior officers that had served aboard Hawkwing were now aboard Scorpius. India had been his executive officer back then, and she'd needed a command crew that could deliver. They'd held off the locusts when it had looked as if they would be overwhelmed. "Let's head for my office and we can go over everything," India said. "This new technology Lisa recovered to control the locusts will change everything, and I'm curious what the game plan is going to be going forward. Also, I'd really like to know what we're going to do with the Tardans we've captured." That was a headache he hadn't gotten around to dealing with. They were still collecting unconscious prisoners from the biggest of the Tardan warships. Lisa had deployed their own anti-personnel systems against them, and General Mac Turner was seeing that all their new prisoners were locked away before they regained consciousness. That was probably unlikely, but at least they'd secured the critical areas on the six big Tardan military vessels and locked away the weapons the prisoners might have used to resist. One way or the other, they weren't going anywhere. It might still take a week to sort everything out, but it would happen. Neither of them spoke on the way to India's office. He tried to think ahead to what they needed to do next, but there were so many possibilities that they hadn't settled on an actual course of action. They'd thrashed the latest Tardan invasion fleet, destroying or crippling all the smaller military vessels. They'd also liberated about 100 Tardan colony vessels that Regex, the Tardan scientist implanted inside Lisa, suspected were filled with the extracted symbiotes. It was entirely possible that all the remaining Tardan civilians were packed aboard those 100 ships. That would mean they had almost 1 billion people he needed to get somewhere safe. The Tardan military had betrayed them, and the freed civilian colonists had been holding trials of each of them to sort out those who had been in command and knew what they were doing from those who had just been serving without any real awareness of what they were getting into. He didn't envy them that task. They had the power of life and death, and they'd already shown they weren't afraid to use it. Jack had no doubt that everyone responsible for this travesty would be made to pay eventually. He was grateful it wasn't his problem. Once they arrived at India's office, the two of them sat at the small seating area near her desk, and she poured them both drinks. They were technically still on duty, but he wasn't going to turn down a couple of fingers of good alcohol. Besides which, he really needed to unwind after the battle, and he was more than willing to contribute a little to make that happen. "How were your casualties?" he asked. She grimaced. "Light, but we lost people. That always hurts." He nodded. "That's true, and it never gets any easier."